Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Tina Horn, and this is Interrobang. An interrobang is when a question mark and an exclamation point are next to each other. That's the actual name for that. You'll find an interrobang at the end of the name of my podcast, Why Are People Into That? Interrobang is the name of the short, exclusive segment that you get when you subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast, because you just can't get enough uncensored pervert conversation. But I'm releasing this one on the regular Why Are People Into That feed so you can get a taste. Download the Acast app to find out more. On this episode of Interrobang, my guest is Jack the Stripper. It's spelled J-A-C-Q, like Jacques, but she pronounces it Jack. She's from Ontario. Jack is a writer, comedian, stripper, and illustrator. She is kickstarting Striptastic, a full-color coffee table book of illustrations, interviews, and data collected from a survey she conducted with nearly 300 strippers from around the world. The campaign ends the morning of September 7th, but you can buy the book and some other excellent stripper swag in perpetuity by visiting jackthestripper.com/striptastic. Now remember, that's spelled like Jacques. Jack and I recorded a full-length conversation about why people are into strip clubs, but in this preview we answer a sex advice question from a fan. To find out what Jack and I think about grappling with the Madonna horror complex, keep listening.
A vacation, new locations, oh.
I'm Jack the Stripper. I'm an illustrator, a comedian, a stripper, and a writer. And this is my second book that's coming out. It's called Striptastic. My first book was a written memoir about me coming into myself as a stripper. And I've been at it a while now, almost 7 years. And Striptastic is a collection of illustrations that I've been drawing for the past year or so and posting on Instagram, but it's a lot more than that. Actually, there's illustrations, comics that are you know, stories of the women who I've worked alongside. But then I did this thing called the stripper survey, where I collected data from almost 300 strippers from around the world about what we love about our job, what valuable skills we've learned from our job, hilarious stories, favorite clients, what we can't live without, and really beautiful personal anecdotes from all these different women who have had completely different experiences doing this job. And it is available for pre-order on Kickstarter. I'm crowdfunding the project so that I can have a full-color hardcover coffee table book about dope ass cunts who like money.
Well, this, as you can see, my coffee table here is has a big Striptastic hole in it that needs
it
to be
does.
Filled. It needs to be filled, and I've pledged to Striptastic.
Thank
and
you.
I urge everyone to do the same, and also to follow Jack the Stripper on the internet, where many of these your comics never fail to make me, they're just, you really have a talent for like condensing these situations that I feel like they do double duty. Like as a sex worker, I'm just like, yep. Like slow clap, like non-sarcastic slow clap. I'm like, that's it. That's the thing. But I also feel like if you don't have that experience, you still it, like, the dynamic of it is just fun. You're a talented joke teller.
Thank you.
And yeah, anyway, so where can people find you on social media?
On social media, I'm Jack the Stripper, J-A-C-Q the Stripper. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Tumblr, and I have my .com. Am I missing any? I don't use Snapchat because I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's Snapchat's a lifestyle. I'm officially too old for Snapchat. I'm like, I don't understand that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm on all of those social medias, and you can find me all over those, and at the Village Lantern, which is a comedy club in New York City, where I host a monthly comedy show called Venus Flytrap. So I'm around.
Jack the Stripper, we're doing a little Interrobang, which is the name of the little extra segment that I like to do.
Yeah.
Are you ready to answer some sex advice?
I am ready to try.
Okay, cool. Yes. So this question came from a fan who, this is pretty common for me, that I will get an email from someone who says, I really like your show, or I read your book and I really like it, or I've like seen your movies, or like whatever, saw you teach, and I like really like you, and like also I hope it's okay, I like have this question. And so, you know, and then I usually get consent from them to talk about it with a guest on the show, which they're usually more than happy to do, because it's like two pieces of advice for the price of one. And then I have these authentic questions, and I don't have to make up questions. Not that I would ever do that. So this question goes like this. It's a little long, but I'm going to read the whole thing. I have been with my boyfriend for almost 6 years. He has way more sex experience than me. He has done everything, whereas he is only the third guy I have slept with. I have the Madonna whore complex. There are things I would love to try, and my boyfriend is open to it, but I can't shake the thought that he will look at me differently. I feel ashamed that I'm repressing myself sexually, as well as assuming that trying new things will change his love and respect for me. Have you or do you know anyone who has had this problem? How can I be more sexually free? And then the last is, has anyone else asked you these questions as if you are the sex messiah? So I'll start first by saying yes. Mm-hmm. People do treat me like the sex messiah sometimes, which I am not. I am not the second coming of anything.
But that's really great that she thinks that you are.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, being the messiah is a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
There was a lot to unpack.
Because first of all, what seems most challenging to me, honestly, of this situation that you're in, caller, is that you've been together for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely in a routine together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not like you met 6 months ago and you can just throw a curveball. Like, you might not be a curveball kind of partner.
Yeah. And I just want to say the first thing that jumped out to me about this question is what you just touched on, which is that if your boyfriend has way more sexual experience than you, and you've been together for 6 years, then I don't know how old these people are, but like 6 years, even in a lifetime, like 6 years is a long time to have sexual experience with someone. So mm-hmm. like, let's say that these people are 30. Like, I really have no idea how old they are, but like, let's say that they're 30. That means that maybe he had like close to 10, if he started very young as a teenager, maybe he had like close to 10 years of experience before he met you. But like, now like half of his life experience is with you.
The caller.
I like how you call them the caller, even though caller, they didn't actually writer, call sorry.
It. It's because I listened to Dan Savage, and he always goes, he calls people by caller, and
absolutely,
you know,
it's easy shorthand, sorry. So we can call her the caller. So you know what I mean? Though?
I mean, okay. So my whole stripper. Can we go on my stripper skeptic?
Yes.
He doesn't have that much experience. He's just talking about it.
I completely agree with you.
Men, all they do is talk. I mean, no, this is so general. When I say all men, there's a lot of boasting among men about what they've done, and especially to new conquests.
Right.
Or guys like to feel like a bit of a Casanova. And like this person confessed, you know, she has a Madonna whore complex, which is hard to shake.
Right.
But he doesn't seem to, he doesn't have a Madonna whore complex about you, does he? Or do you have that about yourself?
She does not indicate, the impression that I'm getting is that he sounds like a nice enough guy. And it sounds like, you know, nice enough to stay with for 6 years. And it sounds like he is open to and interested in experimenting with her and maybe even being like a good partner for her to like try things that he's done before and she's never done before. And also, you know, yeah, maybe he's boastful and maybe he's exaggerating his experience, but like also like confidence is sexy. Like probably his confidence was part of what was attractive to her about him in the first place and probably continues to be attractive. And I think that that's fine. But he probably is, he's probably getting in his own way from, if like you guys both want to like experiment and get out of your routine and try new things.
And that's both of you changing the way you might feel about each other afterwards.
Yeah.
You might feel differently about him after you try some new shit.
That's totally true.
I'm like, you have to accept that.
So let's come up with like a specific example of an activity, because the caller, the writer, doesn't mention anything specifically. So I don't know anything about, I have no basis for comparison. I don't know if we're talking about, ooh, we want to try like me being on top, or like if we want to try like, you know, like fire play, or like knife play, or orgies, or like, you know, I don't know. Or anal, I don't know what we're talking about here, but like let's...
Okay, so let's say that... Okay, so here's my idea of what could happen. Let's say that... Not my idea of what could happen, but... Let's say you, the person who wrote in, you have an idea of something that you would like to try. Or, you know, either way, I guess what I'm trying to get to at the end point is that like, if both of you have a good time, or if one of you has a really great time, and it's consensual, you're asking for consent at every step of the way, after you feel awesome or come or whatever, like you can't really be mad at the person if it was consensual and they had a really great time. There's kind of like, if both people had a great time,
yeah,
and like seeing someone euphorically laying back and just basking in the afterglow feeling fucking awesome, there's not usually, I can't imagine there being like a feeling of resentment or judgment at that person. Or is there? I don't know.
I mean, let's put it.
Maybe that's okay. Yeah.
Pick a sexual activity.
Okay, bondage. You're gonna tie each other up to the bed post.
Tying each other up. Let's say it's a switch situation, and so we're just let's like take the sort of like inherent like power dynamics out of it. And let's say you both want to try being tied up. If you tie up your boyfriend and have sex, and he ties you up, and you have sex, and afterwards your boyfriend is like, oh, I like see you as a like, I don't even know what, like I see you as like a horrible slut now, like I see you as like a weird kinky pervert freak that I don't want to, like I need to go take a shower now that you have tied me up, or like I can't respect you anymore because you let me do that to you, or I can't look at you anymore because I let you tie me up and that is degrading to me. Like if your boyfriend is like pulling that shit on you, then like maybe you just like figured out that you should get a new boyfriend. You know, so maybe like experimenting sexually together will teach you, like it's like a win-win, because if you guys have those experiences and you feel great about it and you feel great about each other, that's great.
Yeah.
And if your boyfriend is like a dick to you, or like sees you as a whore, which he sees as a bad thing, for being sexually adventurous within the specific confines of a consensual, adult, loving, committed relationship, then like hit the road, you know? find other people who will make you feel great when you experiment with them.
Yeah. So the question is, does she want to experiment specifically with a specific idea, or does she want to do things to make him happy? Assuming that he was happy before he met you doing those things. I think that's just in your head. I don't think that there's anything that
if he likes again, let's just like use bondage as an example.
Right.
If he likes bondage and he's had sex that involved bondage before, he is going to be, and he's been with you for 6 years. I don't know if they're monogamous or sexually exclusive, but like, let's just say that they've been each other's primary partners for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he is attracted to you. He is hot for you. Like, most people, when they have a sexual interest, they can transpose that interest onto the people that they're attracted to. I mean, they might be attracted to someone because that person is like a good person to explore that particular interest with, but like, yeah. Have you ever had an experience like this before? Where you were with someone and you guys experimented and then your partner like was freaked out or like treated you differently or saw you differently? Like, afterwards?
Kind of racking my brain here. Let me think. I guess I think like what I'm really like distilling this to is like, do I feel judged or do I judge after I fuck someone? Right? That's kind of it. Like, what do I think of this person after I've been all up in them?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a new way. And if I don't really like the person, I'm gonna judge the shit out of them, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm being candid and shitty, but it's true. Like, I remember when I was, you know, really enjoying, like, you know, my university slut years, and I'd fuck some guy and it wasn't great, and I like couldn't wait to go to brunch with my girlfriends and talk about how bad a lay he was. I'm a terrible person, but like, this is what we did.
But did you get anything out of that experience?
I just wanted to experience everything, and I'm glad I did.
Because
it's not the bad sex wasn't, it wasn't like, it was, bad sex is usually just like awkward and like clumsy and maybe just not, there's no chemistry there, but it's not like it was a horrible experience. It was just like, this is silly and I think everything's funny. So that's why I have to call my girlfriends and talk about it, because I just like to dish about funny shit.
You know, I think you're actually hitting on something that is relevant to this person's situation, which is that like the problem is all in her head, right? Like, she is getting in her own way, and she's self-aware enough, she realizes that, but oftentimes, even if we're aware, like, I have a hang up about like my body dysmorphia, or like I have a hang up about like some prejudice that I have, like, you can be aware of it, but that doesn't just like make it go away,
right?
And but I think that also part of it is like the way that women in particular are socialized to think that if we have a sexual experience that is anything less than ideal, that taints us somehow, right? Like, the idea that bad sex, like, I feel like when you were describing like lousy sex, it like reminded me of some of the like lousy hookups that I've had, and this totally like base, like not intellectual, like shame that I had, and this is me we're talking about, like,
well,
like about that, you know, like shame that somehow that is like a reflection on me, that like the fact that the sex was bad or the sex was a disappointment is like a reflection on like my ability to attract the like people that are going to rock my world, that I'm like a failure. Anyway, but that's probably my Jewish guilt talking.
Oh, so this is a comedian talking. And if I have bad sex, I'm like, fodder. This is just like stripping, you know, like when I give some like person a lap dance who's just like, I'm like, maybe it's a little bit uncomfortable, or awkward, or weird, or if they're profoundly rude or say something so shocking, it's not usually like, yeah, you can judge them, but usually like, this is a great story, because it doesn't mean that like it doesn't mean they're a bad lay or a bad lap dance for someone else. It just didn't work for you, and you have to you have to try shit to figure out what really rocks your world in a relationship. Like, you're going to try stuff that doesn't work. But I personally, if I'm with someone who I really care about, we try something new and it's really good, that is so hot. You feel it's closer so to that
hot.
Person.
Oh,
you're
so
just
hot.
Like, oh, I did that. And like, you know, she liked it and I liked it. And then you just like look over at that person and you're just like, you feel so much more intimate with that person because you've experienced something new together that's maybe a little bit naughty.
Yeah.
And like, that's fun. That's like your own little secret together.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So like, maybe you're still Madonna to everyone else, but maybe like you're just a tiny bit of a whore for him sometimes, you know?
Ooh,
and like,
yes.
Isn't like we're both like giggling talking about this. Like, yeah. It's fun. So yeah. So maybe if you can't shake that Madonna whore complex, maybe have fun with it. Play with it.
I completely agree. Well, it's just like...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Any other anxiety, right?
Yeah.
Like the best thing to do with any anxiety about bodies, about power, about gender. The best thing to do is to turn it into a sex game. Because you learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about your partner. You know, and in my experience, it's the best way to like exorcise the control that thing has over you. Because like once you've fucked with it in bed, all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is such a puny thing actually that like I can totally, I don't know, it's magic.
I really like that. I like that idea, that I love that belief that
yeah.
you have. I think that's a great exercise of like, what am I afraid of? Okay, let's turn it into a sex game.
Yeah,
that's great.
So that's what Dr. Feelgoods prescribes, is turn your anxieties into a sex game. I am not a licensed therapist, but maybe I should be.
Right.
Another thing that I want to say is that the fact that this question is so open and vague and is not saying, I have a specific desire to get fucked in the ass. Like, this is not an ass fucking question. This is not a spanking question. This is not a oral sex question. It's not a bondage question. It's not a furry question. It's like a general experimenting with sex outside of whatever their routine it already is, or their established sexual dynamic already is. And so to me, that says that like, one concrete tool that I would give the caller is to make your own yes, no, maybe list with like a list of all the fetishes and sexual activities that you can possibly think of. If you want a list, I will email you one. And just sit down by yourself, like, at a time, you know, like, drink some wine, drink some tea, like sit in a cafe, sit in a park and like really like daydream and think about like, this is definitely something I want to try. This is something I'm a little bit on the fence about. Maybe I don't know that much about it. If my partner's into it, I would be open to it. But like, I'm like sort of so-so. And then knows like, no, absolutely never under any circumstances can I right now envision myself like, I'm trying to think of an example of something, you know, I will never, ever, ever like dress up as a clown and like fuck my partner ever. That's a no. Awesome. Just as an example of an, I was like, right. what is on my no list?
Right.
Yes. Clowns.
And so would you suggest that both parties do this separately and then bring their lifts together? I think that's a great idea. Yes.
I do think so. And I think that, because I think that you learn things about yourself when you do that yes, no, maybe list by yourself. And also, if you're doing it with your partner, you might feel like pressure. Exactly. So I think like bringing that together and like recognizing that like if you're really excited about something in your yes list, like if you're like all about clown sex, you're like, clown sex is my number one thing that I really, really, really want to try. And that is on your partner's no list. Like, maybe you guys need to talk about that, or maybe you just need to be like, well, there's all these other things on the menu.
Right.
And also, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because clowns are horrible.
I mean, I think just how what I'm imagining in that scenario is how fucking hot it's going to be when you swap lists.
Exactly.
And you both have something in common in the yes category, which odds are you're going to.
Odds are you definitely will.
So that's like, and that's really exciting because then you have something to go with and you, and it's a specific fantasy or yeah. kink. It's not like, let's be kinky. And then you're like, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, you have yeah. a very specific thing you can do, and there are plenty of examples on the internet yes. that you can try to duplicate.
Yes. Yeah, and yeah. I, and you know, and I would say that like maybe also you would want to say to your partner, I feel really intimidated by your experience. So like maybe you feel intimidated, so you really want him to take control. Because you, like, see him as the, like, wise, all-powerful, knowing wizard of sex. And, like, that's, again, like, his confidence was probably, like, very attractive to mm-hmm. her initially, right? So, but also maybe the fact that you're intimidated by his experience means that it would be more fun for you and more hot for you and more comfortable for you to be the one who takes the lead, you know? Because, and just say, like, you're not allowed to be like, oh, well, this one other time when I did this, like, or I've seen a porno of this in the movies that I've seen of this, like, this is how I've always done it. Like, you know, you can say, like, you're not allowed to say that this is about us exploring together.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you had never been to Brazil. We were just talking about traveling, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you went to Brazil with someone who had been there before, and it was your first time there. And you're just taking it all in. And the person that you're with is like, oh, yes, the last time that I was here, I like hiked all the way up to the statue of the Jesus. And like, here, let me show you like a picture of me like from that other time. And it, I would just be like, we're here now, motherfucker. And like, I'm like, let's have this experience together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. That's so annoying when people do that.
I know. I mean, I think that like sometimes, you know, somebody is like excited to like be back and like excited maybe even to be the tour guide.
Right.
Right. But like, you know,
there's a time, a place.
Hey, you got to modulate that shit.
You do.
Yeah. Do you have any other advice for this particular individual or like people who are wanting to explore and experiment more? Well, actually, let me ask you this. Now, this is a very fraught and loaded question, and maybe we'll talk about this in our longer interview about why are people into stripping, which is about to commence. what is your advice for, let's say this person wrote in and said, I've never been to a strip club. My boyfriend of 6 years has been to strip clubs before. And we both really want to go to a strip club together, but I feel really intimidated because he's been to them before and I never have. What advice would you give that couple?
Well, I would first say that a guy going to a strip club by himself or with his buddies, who are, let's assume they're men, is a completely different experience than going to a strip club on a date.
Totally.
You are going to have... He is going to have such a different experience because it's just not the same. Entertaining a couple is not the same as entertaining a single guy at a strip club.
Or a group of guys.
Or a group of guys, yeah. Right? So it's going to be different for both of you. And the way he acts is probably going to be different too, you know? Because you want to reassure each other. But I would suggest for advice for that, I would say... I have advice for men and I have advice for women who are in a couple. I would say, and it's like, so for a woman, I would always say, look hot, feel awesome. Mm. You want to feel confident. Like you want to feel as hot as the 11 that you are.
Yeah.
Wear your favorite outfit. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like our job is to look hot. Like we put a lot of work into it and like we are performing hotness. So you're going to feel better if you're performing your version of hotness.
Totally.
You're going to feel confident. And like, we're nicer to each other when we feel confident. We just are.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Feel hot, wear pants. Because if you want to get a lap dance, even if you don't think you're going to want a lap dance, if you want one, you don't want to be hindered by a mini skirt. It's just not comfortable for anybody involved giving a lap dance to someone who's gash is out. Only my gash is allowed to be out.
That's good advice.
You know? And the guy, I say, if it's her first time...
I always suggest pick a girl who looks just like her, but who isn't quite as cute as her. So if your girlfriend is super cute with short brown hair, you better find a stripper who's super cute, but not as cute with short brown hair to show how much you're attracted to her and you like seeing that in other women.
God,
but if she's a blonde and you pick some like sassy redhead or whatever and if this other stripper has features that maybe your date is a little bit insecure about, do not pick her.
Totally,
you know,
totally.
Pick someone who kind of looks like her. You know,
it's such good
advice. That's the best advice you can give, you know?
Yeah.
And have her the dance. Give her the dance if she wants it. Consent is everything. Some people do not want a lap dance. I've had guys get up and run away from a lap dance. But those are my main advice for couples.
Yeah. I think that advice about the fact that it is going to be different for him, even it doesn't matter how much experience he's had, it's going to be different when he does it with you, applies no matter what
to everything
it is that they want to explore together. Mm-hmm. And just remember, it's about the two of you coming together, and that nothing constructive ever comes out of worrying that your partner is going to judge you for something that they're not even judging you about. Like, if somebody's judging you, like, that's something to be worried about. But if they're not even judging you and you're actually just projecting your own judgment of yourself onto your partner, that's, you gotta, whatever you need to do to, like, work on that and, like, conquer that fear and, like, get over that, like, that would be, because that's not helping you in other non-sexual parts of your life either.
Right.
Cool. Thank you so much for tackling that with me. It's a hard one.
It is a really hard one.
Interrobang is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme music is by my brother from another mother, Moot. Check out his gorgeous tunes at markedeutsch.bandcamp.com. That's markedeutsch.bandcamp.com. Follow at Tina Horns S on Twitter and Instagram, and visit whyarepeopleintothat.com.
This ship is lonely. Lovers are cold on the phone. The mood out in the hall ain't fantastic. Air feels static, not dramatic.
And I do my serious radio stripper voice. Hello.
Please.
Hi. I'm Jack the Stripper.
Is that your radio stripper voice?
I don't know. Yeah, that's my radio stripper voice. My work stripper voice is higher because it's like, hi, how are you? What's going on? It's just in a whole octave higher. It's my character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know that voice. it's my Laura Palmer voice.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Just a little, like, higher and breathier.
Ooh. Yeah, there's so many different voices depending on the occasion. When I get really serious and start, like, cracking jokes, it drops. But I try to keep it high in the beginning. Non-threatening.
Well, and then it's fun because then when you drop it, they feel like they're in on a secret.
Right. Oh, that's right. True. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, real talk now. They're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. You're like, and then also you need to be able to drop all those octaves if you need to tell them. If you, that's like your like etiquette voice. They're like, no, actually, don't touch me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, where did that nice lady go?
She's still here. She's just fucking serious.
Actually, she was serious before, too. Can have that voice and still be serious.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.